ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तत्रा दुंदुभया नेदु देव मानव वादिता शशांसु सदवा राग्यम खात पेतु पुष्पविष्टया। तत्र दुंदुभयो नेदुर् देवमानववादितः शशंसु सर्वो राज्ञम् कत्पेतु पुष्पवृष्टयः। सॉरी, sorry. Tatra dandu bayo nedur deva manava vadatida shasham su sarvo ragyam katpe tu pushpa vishtaya tatra dandu bayo nedur देवमानववादितः शशंसु सर्वो राज्ञम् कत्पेतु पुष्पवृष्टयः। Please chant. Ladies, please. Shashamsu Sarvo Ragyam, Anyone else would like to chant? Synonyms. Tatra, thereafter. Dandu Bayaha, drums. Nedhu, were sounded. Deva, the demigods from other planets. Manava, men from all countries. Vaditaha, beaten by. Shashamsu, praised. Sadhava, honest. Ragyam, by the royal order. Kat, from the sky. Petu, began to fall. Pushpa Vrishtayaha, showers of flowers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Thereafter, both men and demigods sounded drums in honor, and the honest royal order commenced demonstrations of honor and respect. And from the sky fell showers of flowers. Purport. Bhishmadev was respected both by human beings and by the demigods. The human beings live on earth and similar other planets in the Bhur and Bhuvar group of planets. We all know what the Bhur and Bhuvar and Sva planets are. Generally the lower is the Bhur, Bhuvar, the middle planets, and Sva are the heavenly planets. But the demigods live in the Svar, or the heavenly planets, and all of them knew Bhishmadev as a great warrior and devotee of the Lord, as Mahajan, or authority. So what kind of authority? He's a spiritual authority. He's an authority on Bhakti Yoga. He knows how to achieve Bhakti Yoga, and he has achieved the glories or the great results of Bhakti Yoga. So therefore he is an authority along with 11 other Mahajans. He was on the level of Brahma, Narada, and Shiva, although he was a human being. Qualification, let me just backtrack for a few seconds. As a Mahajan or authority, he was on the level of Brahma, Narada, and Shiva. So what is the difference between these three, which I mentioned, and Bhishmadev in terms of echelon, or what they call classification? Anybody know? Actually, you all know, it's just that you may not have read it. So it just happens to be that those three, Brahma, Narada, and Shiva, are called or considered empowered incarnations of God. Shaktya Vesha Avatar. Brahma is an empowered incarnation of creativity, creating the world. Narada is an incarnation of love and devotion. And Shiva is an incarnation of the ability to destroy or dissolve. Although he was a human being, it says. So therefore, he's being differentiated from these three in one sense, but in another sense, not really, because they're equal in the sense of higher spiritual advancement. Because they are also Mahajans. Qualification on a par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. Thus, Bhishmadev was known all over the universes, and during his time, interplanetary travel was effected by finer methods than the futile endeavors of mechanical spacecraft, which we have today. When the distant planets were informed of the passing away of Bhishmadev, all the inhabitants of the upper planets as well as of the earth dropped showers of flowers to show due respect to the departed great personality. So here we have a differentiation between today's spacecraft and the ancient one, which was much faster. Persons who had known the techniques of transferring oneself from one planet to another, from one place to another, through the astral body or through the subtle body, could do this virtually immediately. Whereas today they take, you know, so much time making a rocket ship, so much time making a plane to land, so much time having to fix these things when they go wrong. However, in the ancient days, it was just a matter of having the knowledge of how to use the subtle body and simply willing it to go where one wants to go. For example, Narada Muni, he wants to go someplace. He suddenly pops up and shows. Kamsa was sitting in his patio, and suddenly Narada Muni appears. The Pandavas were having an assembly meeting, and suddenly on the stage, Narada appears. So they can appear and disappear as they so wish, because they have control over aspects of the body that most persons do not have. This showering of flowers from heaven is a sign of recognition by great demigods. And it should never be compared to the decoration of a dead body. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization. This is a very important point. I'd like to reread it. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization, and thus the body was spiritualized as when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. The body of a fully self-realized soul is not therefore accepted as material. We call it spiritual, just for the reasons I just gave. It's surcharged, it's saturated with spiritual energy, spiritual power. And even when the soul leaves the body completely, and the body is considered dead, nonetheless, the body, because it was surcharged with spiritual vibration, retains that spiritual vibration. It is for that reason that people go and visit deceased, spiritually realized, God-realized souls who may be lying, for example, in a particular area, and people go there to pay their respects, to venerate the body, because it's not an ordinary body. It's a transformed, spiritualized body. A sannyasi is supposed to be a God-realized soul. That may not necessarily be, but he's supposed to be. They strive to be. And if they are truly advanced or evolved spiritually, then there is no reason or no need to cremate such a body. That's why generally sannyasis are buried and not burned. For example, Srila Prabhupada was buried. Why? Because he has a spiritualized body, and in that area where he's buried, it's considered like a pilgrimage place, because the vibrations which he left are there for all to partake of. And therefore, when we reverentially give our all, or bow down, or offer obeisances, we take or get the benefits of those vibrations. It's the same thing with persons going to different pilgrimage places. Great souls resided there, or they lived there, or they did service there, and they leave their holy vibrations at these places. And in so doing, persons, again, worship these places, bow down to them, thank the sages or the saints that actually used to live or work there, or did service there, or worship there, or pray there. Now, the child can't be here. Thank you very much. So, continuing on. I don't know the word. Do anybody know the word that I ended up on before I kind of got interrupted? No? Anyway, I will just continue. Thus, Bhishma Dev was known all over the universes, and during his time, interplanetary travel was effective. I already read that. Sorry. This showering of flowers from heaven is a sign of recognition by great demigods, and it should never be compared to the decoration of a dead body. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization, and thus the body was spiritualized as when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. So it was a spiritual body, but that's not the spiritual body that we refer to that goes back to the spiritual world. That's a body made of physical elements. But nonetheless, every one of those elements is surcharged. Every atom is surcharged with spirituality. The spiritual body that goes back, or the soul which goes back home, back to Godhead, which is in a great soul like Bhishma Dev, is completely spiritualized, and it simply goes forth and enters into the spiritual planet that has been designated for him by the Supreme Lord. The body of Bhishma Dev lost its material effects due to being surcharged with spiritual realization, and thus the body was spiritualized as when iron becomes red hot when in contact with fire. The body of a fully self-realized soul is not, therefore, accepted as material, as it's fully spiritualized, and it's not like any other. Special ceremonies are observed for such spiritual bodies. The respect and recognition of Bhishma Dev are never to be imitated by artificial means, as it has become a fashion to observe the so-called Jayanti ceremony for any and every common man. So a Jayanti simply means a glorification. It means Jayanti means like triumph. Victory, Jaya, and Jayanti means that this person whom we are celebrating or glorifying or honoring is supposed to be somebody great spiritually. And Srila Prabhupada is objecting to this particular term, Jayanti, being referred to worldly persons. They may have put up a hospital, or maybe they put up a school, or maybe they did some charitable activity, and they call it a Jayanti holy day. But it's not. It refers to, for example, on the 31st of, soon, maybe some of you know the date, but there's a Hanuman Jayanti. It's a practiced or it's celebrated, ceremonialized all over India by persons of all religions, because Hanuman was a great spiritual person. What was he great and noted for? He was noted for searching for and finding the kidnapped wife of Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi. And also, after he had found her, he reassured her that her husband would be coming and she should not worry. And then he traveled back through the airways. There was again an example where a person could actually fly in his physical body. And he gave the news to Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Ramachandra expressed great gratitude, great appreciation, great affection. Hanuman did not go to embrace Lord Ramachandra. He never thought of himself as an equal. He thought of himself always as a servant. And as a servant, his only business was to be at the feet of Lord Ramachandra, which is what he did. Lord Ramachandra then raised him up, embraced him, and Hanuman was, of course, just in ecstasy, because a great soul never expects to be treated greatly. He always thinks of himself as insignificant, unimportant, having really no value, because he sees so many faults in himself which others may not or ever even see. And the result was, of course, Lord Ramachandra saw only wonderful qualities, compassion, kindness, mercy, courage, strength, dedication, loyalty, faithfulness. He saw all these wonderful qualities in Hanuman, and therefore he wanted to show him his great affection and great joy. So, therefore, as Srila Prabhupada is saying that over here, that the Jayanti ceremony for an ordinary man, however exalted he may be materially, is an offense to the Lord. It's an offense because it should not be done. It should be reserved for those persons who are devoted, who are glorifiable, who have done great spiritual activities and set an excellent, wonderful, as Srila Prabhupada has so greatly done, example for all of us to follow. And although we cannot imitate Srila Prabhupada because he is so far advanced, but we can follow in the footsteps, and following in the footsteps means trying to do the things that he did and doing them the best we can do. And if we don't come up to that high, lofty standard, at least we can feel that we're trying our best and praying to the Lord to try to do better and better. The Lord, Krishna, will give us his blessings, the blessings to do better, because he also wants us to do better. And he will enable us to do better if we humbly, if we modestly, unassumingly beg for that kind of mercy. But we should not necessarily expect that we're going to become superheroes just from a few prayers. No, it doesn't work that way. We simply do the do our prayers, we beg for the mercy, and when we get the result, we think that the result has come. If it's a good result, of course it comes from Krishna. We give all credit to Krishna. When people honor us, we may accept graciously the honor, but inwardly we never accept it for ourselves, because we know that the ability, the power, the virtue, the greatness, it's all coming from the inner source or the higher source. It comes from Krishna. And receiving this from Krishna, the devotee is very happy to offer it to, first to his spiritual master and beg the spiritual master, after he has savored it, to pass it on to the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all virtues, the source of all abilities, the source of all great activities or greatness. So Bhishma Dev was unique in his activities, so unique, we can talk a few minutes about them, unique in his activities, and his passing away to the kingdom of God is also unique. That's not something everybody in the world is doing. In fact, most people, they're not doing it. Most people are going back to Hellhead, not Godhead. And why are they going there? Because they're living a sinful life. And what is the main sin that people are practicing? Or expressing, the main sin that people are expressing is they all want to be lords of some sort or another. So if I want to be bigger or better or higher or greater than him or her, then what happens is that it sets up a whole sense of envy. So you are better than me, then I will be better than you. Now I'm better than you, now you want to be better than me. And so this is unfortunate because nobody's at all better. Since all the ability, all the power, all the strength, all the talent, and it all comes from Krishna. And by assigning to the wrong person, namely ourselves, all of that credit, that what happens is that it results in swelling of pride, thinking I'm great, I'm so wonderful, I'm so glorious, I'm so lovable, adorable, applaudable, so appealing. So when one thinks like that, one becomes rather vain, becomes conceited, becomes egocentric, like we have even in our president today. You see so many manifestations of this type of egotism. Cannot brook to be wrong, even if he's wrong 100 times, can't, no. It's caused by him, caused by her, caused by this person. He wants to always be thinking he's good, he's great, he's wonderful, and wants everybody else to be looking at him as great, glorious, wonderful, amazing, like that. So this is very unfortunate for that, for such types of persons. And generally such types of persons are always in a fracas, always in some kind of a dispute, always in an argument, always trying to prove that they're better than somebody else, always in an angry mood. And why is that? Because of the fact that they have no peace of mind. And when you want to lord it over other persons, you can never have any peace of mind. As long as you want to have this lordship. You want to be greater, bigger, higher. As long as that idea exists, then one can never have any peace of mind. Because there is always the anxiety of, is he higher, is he better, is he bigger, is he greater? So this is a very wonderful aspect that we can take from Bhishma Dev. He was never envious of the Pandavas. In fact, he spoke very highly of the Pandavas, who are very, very fortunate, he said, because Krishna would come, when he would come to Hastinapur, Indraprastha, he would stay with them. He would walk with them. He would talk with them, play with them, eat with them, do so many things with them. And Bhishma Dev, he was not envious. He admired. There's a difference between admiration and envy. Envy means, I look up to what you're doing, but I don't want you to do it. I want to be the one to do it. I want the glory. I want the grandeur. I want the applause. And so very often a person who's very envious will look to make sign of some kind of problem, some kind of trouble, difficulty, to get that person out of that position who is outshining him now, who is making him look less or small or inferior. But not a person who is a great, loving, spiritually minded, God-realized soul. No, he actually sees the good qualities of the person, and he encourages that person by praising him for those qualities. And by so doing, the Lord who is within sees that devotee praising the other devotee, and the Lord expresses his grace upon that devotee who is encouraging and inspiring and enthusing the devotee who's manifesting that. So therefore, Arjuna, when he was praised or if he was honored or glorified by Bhishma Dev, there was no sense of vanity, no sense of, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great. It was always because I was gaining the mercy, the kindness, the sweetness and love of Krishna. And that is what is responsible for whatever is coming out of me. Now, it's very refreshing and very helpful for devotee to think in this way. The tendency is to take the credit because we've come into this world to get the credit. Getting the credit means getting the sense of lordship. And that is what is the killer, because it builds false pride, and that false pride that we build makes us always think that we're better or that somebody is trying to be better than us. So we have to be very, very careful. Always admire, wow, he has such wonderful qualities. This person is good. Or talking to another person about this person's abilities, his talents, and how selfless this person is, how loving he is, how devotional in service he is. He's always looking for service. So when we see those kind of qualities, we emulate them. Emulate means we try to do them to the degree, to the extent that we are capable. It doesn't mean we have to be equal to. We try our best, and that's all. And if we don't do as well, we thank Krishna for having allowed us to do as well as we did. Okay? And when Krishna sees that we're not acting in a very demanding, a very demanding or very dictatorial way, we're accepting whatever Krishna gives us as more than we should even get in terms of blessings. So when Krishna sees that we are appreciative, that we have gratitude, that we have humility, that we have modesty, he's more than happy to share so many of his great virtues with us. And those virtues, as we know, kindness and compassion and understanding and love and devotion, all those qualities which Krishna has, he shares them with us, and we begin to slowly but surely, over the period of time, manifest those virtues. We become different people. I see different devotees who came here 5 years ago. They're not the same person. They don't speak the same. They don't look the same. They don't walk the same. They don't talk the same. There's so many of them right in this room here. And I see them even in the last few months, how transformations already have been made. This is the glory of book distribution, by the way. Why is it the glory of book distribution? Because it's in those books that we get the guidelines, we get the criteria, we get the means, the way that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully and tearfully written these books, tears in his eyes, because he wants everybody to become God-realized, everyone to become self-realized. Everyone self-realized means I know who I am. I know I am a soul. I know I'm eternal. I know I'm beyond the modes of nature. And God-realized means that one sees the Lord within his heart, sees the Lord everywhere, or hears the Lord, has communications. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I see Krishna everywhere. So that's a very lofty position. It's easy to say words. Yeah, God realized. Anybody can say that. I can train a dog practically to say. But what does it mean in terms of realization? Realization means that God has blessed us. That means that he has drowned us. That he has loaded us with those spiritual vibrations of love of God in the form of devotional service. And the devotee always feels himself insignificant, worthless, good for nothing. And in that mood, the Lord keeps loading him up with more and more and more. As soon as we begin to feel, yeah, I am pretty great. I am pretty wonderful. Yeah, I do these things great. Yeah, I am better than him. As soon as that happens, the Lord withdraws those graces. And when he withdraws those graces, you know it. How do you know it? You feel empty. You feel dull. Or you feel depressed. Or you feel uncertainty. You feel shaky. You don't feel confident. You don't feel secure. It's a very unpleasant feeling, which people take drugs for, to feel up, to feel high, to feel great. That's something we don't want. And I've seen so many sannyasis, so many GBCs, and so many gurus fall down, because they continue to accept and take and swallow up and enjoy that praise, that honor, that glorification, which should be given away. And the more you take it and keep it, the more poisoned we become. It's poison. We should think of it with the skull and crossbones. That's what it is. So if we give it away to Krishna and thank Krishna for having used us for that, and beg that we may continue in loving devotional service now and forever, Krishna will see that and he will continue to load us. But if we accept this and take it to ourselves, keep it, we are not only misers, but we're thieves. And a thief cannot be given a room in one's house, because he'll be sneaking out sometime during the night to take your gold and silver. So, therefore, that is the main point that I see in this particular. I know I forgot to recite the introductory prayer, and I'll do that now just to be sure I don't get clobbered over the head today as a result of forgetfulness. Om Agyana Timaranda Syagananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. But I got so caught up and so absorbed and so, if not obsessed, with some of the words that have been put down here, that all I wanted to do is share them with everyone here, and again beg for your blessings or beg for your good wishes, whatever, so that I can go on and not fall down like those I've just described. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Yeah, I see Rabindranath has his head, so somebody bring him the microphone. And not too close, because the sound spreads out and it's very difficult for me to make out.
Yeah, in your talk you mentioned the word vibrations, and like in holy places, the vibrations from the sages that were there. So what, could you define that word or give another word for it? Because I'm kind of confused about that.
The vibration?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same word that Srila Prabhupada often uses. Vibration means that things... I'll give a very simple example of a vibration. For example, you take this... and drop it on the floor, it'll go... That's a vibration, okay? And then you can take a stone, okay, and drop it, and you'll get a different sound that comes. That's a vibration also. So different human beings are vibrating mentally, spiritually, in different ways. Some have more feeling for others than some others do. So... how a person may express affection. He may express devotion, may be dedication, may be faithfulness, may be kindness, compassion, sweetness. These are different vibrations, and they manifest differently in different kinds of actions. But they start in the heart. That's the important thing, and that's where they continue to grow if we are developing spiritually. We say that a person has very high vibrations if he's very highly spiritual. And if he acts like an animal, we say that he has very low vibrations. Okay? I hope I made it as clear as I possibly could. Anyone else? Anyone else have a question? Yeah, I see. Ananta Kirtan. Yeah, it's coming. You got it.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the really nice class. You're describing how our mentality should be that, you know, we're insignificant.
And what? I'm not here.
You were describing how our mentality should be that we're insignificant and worthless and that pleases Krishna. But I was just wondering...
What was the last thing you
said? That mentality pleases Krishna the most.
Yes.
I was just wondering, what if it was for practical service one wanted to offer where he recognizes that he might be good in a certain area? For example, you know, say that there's many cooks, but one particular person understands that he's more experienced, he has cooked for many years, and with all due respects, although he respects all the other cooks, he can see that he's a better cook than the other people, and he would like to offer that expertise as an offering, like a service to teach others how to be expert cooks. So without feeling significant, how does one go about understanding that he is good at a particular activity and he wants to teach others that particular activity without feeling that he's better than others? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand your question. The idea is you want to teach somebody without feeling that you're so great or so wonderful. We always have to remember that although we may be in the position of a teacher, we're still the servant. It doesn't mean you can't be a servant as a teacher. For example, if Svavas puts me in charge of some particular area. For example, we have our museum, so forth like that. So he's in charge of it, okay? So, but he's still doing a service there. He's serving the temple president, and through him, serving the deities, serving the Lord, and serving all the devotees. So the point is this, is that through my body, those things may get done, but there would not be anything unless there was the mercy of God. You just have to think back one or two steps. And once you understand that you can't speak, you can't walk, you know, you can't see, you can't hear, you can't do anything without the mercy of the Lord, then who are we? We're just persons in a position. The way Lord Chaitanya puts it is that I'm not a these are all positions, of course. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a vanaprastha. I'm not a grahastha. And I'm not a brahmachari. And I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, and I'm not a Shudra. Because I'm none of these. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Krishna. So that's my identity. Servant, servant, servant. We need to memorize this a million, zillion, trillion times. Once it's really stuck in the head so deeply that even a person calls you great, they call you glorious, they call you wonderful, you're this and that. Inwardly you say, I'm none of those things. That belongs to Krishna. And all I can be, all I can say I am, is simply the servant of the servant. And not a very good one either. But I'm praying to Krishna to help me become even a better servant. That way you stay in the humble servant mentality. Yes, go ahead.
That was great. I was just also wondering, is it okay to recognize that, for the example that I gave about the cooks, is it okay to recognize that the example I gave about the cooks, you know, one cook has been. Is it okay to recognize that I might be a better cook than others, so it would be a better idea for others to come to me to learn how to cook instead of going to another cook because they might learn a more mediocre standard of cooking, whereas they came to me, I can train them better, but without getting puffed up. Is that okay to recognize that?
Well, I don't know how you would implement it. Tell me how you would implement what you just said. What you would tell everybody, I'm the chief cook. How would you get them to come to you? That's what I mean.
Just for example, everybody knew you were the best cook in the temple or whatever, and instead of people going to another cook to learn a lower standard of cooking, if they came to me, I have more experience. I've been doing it for many years. This is just an example. So if they came to me, they would be better trained. But you're not doing it out of false pride. You're just doing it as like practical.
It's a service.
Yeah. So it's okay to recognize that.
No trappings, no anything attached to it. It's just loving servants. And our position is always be, I shouldn't even be doing this because I'm not qualified to do it. But Krishna wants to get me qualified. That's why he's giving it. So the position of modesty, position of simplicity, and the position of humility remains even though you're in a high position because you're always in the servant mentality. The way you develop that is whenever you see an opportunity to serve. Let's just say you see a piece of paper lying on the temple floor. You could just leave it there and say, well, I'll leave it for the cleanup man. Or because the Lord is seeing this piece of trash which shouldn't be on the floor, you pick it up immediately, put it in your pocket, or take it out to the trash can. That's a service mentality. He doesn't have to think, well, I'm not of that. I'm not a sweeper. I'm not a cleaner. I'm not of that. That's for lower people. I've graduated. That's the pride that I'm talking about. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a piece of paper or a piece of filth, or a plate that somebody's left in the prasadam room which should have been thrown in the trash can. He's not fearful that he'll get contaminated. He just takes it and throws it. This is my loving service to you, Lord. So the person who ate out of that plate should have done it. So what? It gave me a chance to serve you a little more. If he sees the positive, the optimistic, the good side of it, and not something bad. Oh, look at that filthy pig leaves his dirty plate on the table. That's another reaction, but not a high devotee. He just says, wow, I got more service. Okay, does that answer your question? I hope it does. Anyone else? We got one more? Because it has to be the last because I can hear the growling of the stomachs right now. It's just going deafening.
Hare Krishna. This is just a comment because Rabindranath is asking about vibration, and vibration is so important for us in Krishna consciousness because Krishna consciousness is a lot about sound vibration, and also because Ananta Kirtan was talking about how to do things better. So I was thinking, you know, we want to perfect everything, to offer to Krishna the very best. So for instance, blowing off conch shell can sound like celestial music or can sound like a donkey braying. Or cartels can sound very sweet and enchantingly beautiful and very fine. Or they can sound so terrible that you actually have to leave the room. So I would like to encourage everyone to perfect their skills, refine their talents, and let's make something more and more beautiful for Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, what's being mentioned is that, for example, in music, there are different vibrations which manifest as sweetness or soothingness or gentleness like that, and other vibrations which are brash and harsh and cacophonous, as they say, which you don't want to listen to because they just make you shudder rather than make you just feel happy. Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. But that says nothing about the person, though. The person, even though he plays beautiful music, may be an utter swindler or maybe a horrible person and not really have the nice qualities. So we have to differentiate. If he has both good spiritual qualities and good singing ability, nothing better than that because he allures persons into the beautiful music. And if it's holy name music, then everybody is benefited, you see. So that's why we should think always of our good qualities or good abilities is not enough. We need to develop our spiritual abilities or spiritual qualities, virtues, that makes the product much better. Anyone else? Is that it? Well, thanks so much again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to your devotional service Ki. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Jai. What did I do wrong? I thought you were coming out to throw me off the Vyasa-san. You mentioned me, and I had it now. But what kind of ego was I?
Mentioned,